Hi, my name's Shelby Clark, and I use the Motorola Droid. Now get ready for the Android Central podcast.
Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central podcast. It's episode number 41 for Thursday, December 2nd, 2010. And I have seen Gingerbread. It's not here. I don't have it. But we've all seen it. We had a little video come out today. We'll talk about them in just a minute. First off, let's introduce everybody. I'm Phil Nickinson. I am your host for the evening and your editor of AndroidCentral.com. You know, I always say evening, but I guess you could listen to this anytime, can't you? I kind of picture everybody lounging in a lounge, wearing a smoking jacket and a pipe, listening to the podcast. Jerry, do you think that's how
people do it? Oh, yeah, that's totally me.
Okay. Great, now I got the picture of Jerry in my head anytime somebody listens to the podcast. Great.
In a smoking jacket.
In a smoking jacket. That's Jerry Hildenbrand, everybody, one of the writers from the site. And we also have Mickey Papillon. You know him as the cell phone junkie.
Hey, everybody.
Do you wear a smoking jacket?
I do not.
Will you?
I can if you'd like me to. Whatever floats your boat, Phil.
And we have Corey Streeter from the Android Central forums.
Hello, everyone.
And occasionally on the blog, too.
Occasionally. And no, I will not wear a smoking jacket for you or anyone.
Ooh.
Sorry.
That's it. We're all wearing smoking
jackets. What is a smoking jacket?
I have no idea.
I don't even know what one is.
Well, it's when you get too close to the wood stove and your jacket starts to smoke, right?
Hmm.
Or is that just a West Virginia smoking jacket?
Yeah, no. So should we talk a little Android?
Yes.
You guys, please. Come on. Let's try that again. Should we talk a little Android?
Yes.
Yay!
Yeah, that's better.
Let's do it.
All right, well, let's start off with a little news that actually came out today. Actually, it's not new. This video came out of, it's in Cantonese, of, what was it, Google Voice Search on Android, and lo and behold, the damn thing's showing Gingerbread. the entire thing is in Cantonese. I have no idea what's being said. You can't read any of the text, but you see the black bar, the new black nav bar. Menu buttons look a little different. I mean, overall, things don't look all that different, right? And actually, I was talking with somebody who actually has seen Gingerbread and knows what's coming, and suddenly it made sense. He's like, dude, you're going to save battery life on that. It totally makes sense, right? So in all these screens, when you're pushing white pixels, that's what actually uses up battery life, right? So by changing little things like that to dark colors, to black, you're going to save battery life. Probably not a whole lot, but certainly better than nothing, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's every little bit helps. I'm glad to see it.
What else do we see in that video? Anything useful?
I don't know.
We saw the new market tab that's actually getting pushed out right now, right? Few people, on Evos, I think? And maybe...
We have a Droid X and an Evo both have reported in seeing it. I'm not seeing anything here.
I
haven't seen anything on my Nexus 1, Evo, Droid X. I feel left out, and I don't like it. I do want to reiterate my objection to Google updating the Android market on our phones and not at least just telling us it's doing it. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's updating the app, right? It's right. Not just updating, you know, like a back-end XML type thing like you would, like iTunes, right? iTunes looks different.
No, it actually updates the app.
Right. So I'm still not crazy that Google changes that on my phone and doesn't tell me. You know, go ahead and do it. That's fine. Just let me know. Give me a little pop-up and says, hey, we updated your market. Deal with it.
Well, here's a pro tip. On the phone that I carry around, I have Lookout running on it in case I lose it, which I've been known to do. Lookout tells me every time it updates the market app.
Really?
Yep.
All right, I'm going to have to try that.
It scans it and tells me.
I did not know
that. So I don't understand. What's your concern?
It's not a big concern. It's just the principle of the matter that it's updating an app for me. You know, it doesn't tell me at some point along the line, hey, we've updated this app. That they can push out the update and there's nothing I can do about it. Not that I want to, but, you know, just in the spirit of openness and, you know, every other app you have the option to update or not update, and it tells you if it's going to update. And, you know, it's not a big deal, and I'm probably making a bigger deal out of it than I need to.
No. They need to be transparent after you've paid all that money and you're paying your carrier money every month, and Google sits back and says, well, you know, it's open. Your carrier has all this choice. Well, if Google wants to talk about how it's open and user-friendly, be open and user-friendly at all times.
Because otherwise, the next thing you know, it's Judgment Day and we're all fighting the machines.
Right. Yeah, right. Skynet comes down. And
so that's clearly the next thing that's going to happen, Judgment Day.
Oh, yeah. No,
I mean, if you see the irony in this whole thing, though, right? I mean, it's updating the app that lets you get the updates for the apps, right? I mean,
that's what I was going to say. Do you have those turned on?
I just totally went cross-eyed at that one. No, actually, I have auto updates, I think, for the most part, turned off just so I can tell when apps are updating in case we need to do a post on them. Yeah. Otherwise, I'd probably just say, if I were, you know, a normal human being, I would just, you know, let apps update the way God intended, the way God and Google intended. But alas,
all in one sense there.
Alas, I am not a normal human being. So we got
that. You have to be careful with some of them because. Mm-hmm. Like some of the apps are, you know, they're free and then they may come out with an update that includes ads. So if you have it set to auto update and it updates for you and you don't know it, you may end up with something you didn't want. So I think you're right. You should be prompted. You should be aware of what they're going to change. So you have the choice of whether or not to install it or not.
Yeah. And the good thing is if permissions change, you're alerted and you have to manually update then. And that's good. So that's that. I don't know. I don't have a big thing on that one way or the other. What else? That's kind of it for
this video. Looks very iPhone-ish. This video with Gingerbread.
Well, there's an iPhone in the video.
First part is an iPhone. Starts out with the iPhone and then moves on.
Oh, jeez. Wow.
Fast forward to like a minute and a half.
Welcome to Android Central, Corey.
That's
big
good.
Fail there.
It's like an iPhone.
It's like, what are they doing?
Otherwise,
okay, I'll shut up now.
we still don't have Gingerbread. We still don't know when it's coming. Andy Rubin speaking on the 6th at All Things D still. That hasn't changed. Whether he talks about it then, I don't know. We'll find out. Are you guys really getting the sense there's that rumor that TechCrunch reported a couple weeks ago now that the Nexus S was delayed for a hardware thing? Do you think maybe that has pushed back for OYO? I mean, it's been a month and a half now since the statue ended up on Google's campus.
Yep.
That's a long time.
That's a good explanation, yeah.
I hate to attribute it to that, but it's starting to kind of seem like it at least.
Well, there's all kind of rumors flying around, and, you know, we have no idea which ones are true, but that does make sense.
Mm-hmm. So that's that. We continue to wait. And as soon as we have it, we'll let you know. And we will...
We better get it soon.
I'll just go...
That's just...
Bat poop crazy.
Okay.
Don't go doing that on us.
I want to talk LTE, even though this isn't specifically smartphone related, but Verizon announced its LTE details. It'll be live this Sunday, right? All data. And that's something I think people didn't quite understand with the news this week. So we're talking pure data, right? These are laptop cards.
Right.
These are not smartphone plans. So when you hear $50 a month for 5 gigabytes or $80 for 10 gigabytes with 10 bucks a gigabyte overages, you know, this is not something you're using on your phone yet. And once we get LTE phones, and they said they expect to have smartphones by mid-year, didn't give a date, and they said they're going to talk more about it in a month at CES. But LTE is coming, and everybody testing it this week. I don't know if you guys have seen any of the benchmark tests from guys who've been running around doing speed tests. It's pretty funny. Sasha Sagan from PC Mag's like, I love being the only one on a tower. I think he's up in New York and like Queens and parts.
Did you see where he was able to burn through the entire 5 gigs in like 6 hours? Yes. Because it's running so fast.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, and that's kind of the question is how much data you're going to use. I mean, I don't think the pricing is all that bad, at least compared to what you're paying now for MiFi on a Verizon. I'm absolutely going to upgrade.
I have to disagree with you there, Phil.
Really?
Yeah, especially if they're going to be pushing the data cards, you know, 5 gigs. I'll do 5 gigs in a day. No question about it. If I'm out and need that data.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, 5 gigs for a smartphone. Yep. No problem with it. People can scream and complain. No problem with 5 gigs on a smartphone. But when you give it me something that plugs into my laptop, I need more than 5 gigs.
They're not targeting this towards consumers, though. This is business.
This is
me out traveling around.
Exactly. Yep. It's me sitting in an airport.
Yeah.
And for that, I think $50 a month is pretty fair. I'm not going to use 5 gigs, most likely. No, once we get it on smartphones, it'll be different, right? And we'll have to see what the pricing is then. I don't know.
I would love to see a $100 all-you-can-eat option. I've said that since the beginning.
Beautiful.
I'd pay it.
Yep. If you want that, you need to go get WiMAX, because you can get unlimited on WiMAX. In fact, Clearwire says that they're doing, on average, 7 gigs per user. That's what their average person is using. So keep that in mind if you're looking to upgrade to this. There's actually a lot of questions in the chat room about a bunch of the different specifics about what they're doing. So I think we should maybe back up and touch on those just for a second. So it's launching Sunday, right? December 5th. 38 markets, 60 major airports. It's going to cover 110 million folks across the country. The largest coverage area is going to be Southern California. There's going to be 20 million people in the SoCal area covered by it. There's going to be 2 monthly plans on 2 different USB modems, one from LG, one from Pantech. As Phil mentioned, 5 gigs is $50. There's also a 10 gig plan for $80. If you go over either of those plans, it's $10 a gig for overage charges. So even if you go over, let's just say you're a really, really heavy user and you've got the 10 gig plan for $80 and you use 20 gigs, you're only going to be paying $180. It's not going to be astronomical. So I think it makes a lot of sense. Another thing that just came out today, though, too, is that they're going to have non-contract options as well. So if you're looking to just do a month-to-month plan, you can do that. Same price point for the plans. The modems, though, are going to be $250. But for those that aren't using these every month, that may be a great way to go.
That actually is a good way to go.
I'm still on contract, so that's kind of my question. Like, I assume they'll just change over my MiFi contract, and I'll still be, I think I've got like 18 months left on it or whatever. We'll see. Everybody in the chat room is asking, no, I will not be covered by LTE where I live. So this will strictly be for, actually, that's something else we need to say. These modems will work just fine on 3G. So I'll still be able to use it here in town, but I won't get the faster speeds till I travel. So,
At least they didn't make you think you will and then break your heart 2 weeks later.
Exactly. No, I mean, look, it's a whole lot of talk for something that has nothing to do with smartphones yet, except for the fact that they said, we're going to talk more about it in at CES in a month. And Mickey, you're going to be there too, right? Corey and I are going.
Indeed I will.
Sweet. Campari for everybody.
I just had some Campari last night. I thought of Kevin.
My condolences. That's a crackberry joke. Kevin Midlick from Crackberry is a huge Campari fan. In fact, I think he owns the company. So that's LTE. I mean, we're getting on smartphones probably, 6 months, I would think. So it's coming, and we'll just have to see about that. What's next? What do you guys want to talk about?
Hey, everybody's asking why I'm not going. My ankle bracelet will be.
Jeez.
Somebody has to stay here and hold the anchor down while the other guys.
It's almost more work being the guy left. I hate to say left behind. It's so weird. Like after I went to every conference, not going to one, and I stayed back and had a baby. But then Dieter's calling in every 5 minutes. Hey, can you do this? Help me with this. Where's this? How do I find this? I'm like, geez, it's more work being at home than it is being at the thing. Let's talk about the Motorola Olympus. So Gizmodo found one in a bar. No, sorry. Somebody supposedly, and I so do not buy this story. Somebody said they bought one in a flea market.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I don't believe
that. Now you're talking to somebody who goes to flea markets, and there ain't no Motorola Olympus phones there. There's blue glass bottles and junk.
Bags of golf balls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, it wouldn't even turn on, so I had to do some weird thing with the power button and the volume button, and I got to some sort of weird developer menu that had all sorts of options, none of which I'm going to tell you about or show you, which is just, whatever. But these are the clearest pictures we've seen so far. It's a pretty sweet-looking phone. Actually, it looks like a Galaxy S. It looks exactly like a Galaxy S.
A lot, yeah.
It's a big black slab, big obelisk. I want to do the 2001 song. I'm not going to sing it right now. Yeah.
I think it looks like an Evo.
It looks like a mashup of kind of all these things with a big Motorola label on it. Don't know when it's coming. It's got Android 2.2 on it right now. This one's obviously coming to AT&T. Has AT&T software on it that you can see in the about screen. I know that can all be faked, whatever, but HDMI out, blur, not the Droid version, the other version.
Congratulations, AT&T.
I know. I was going to say, this is big news.
But what's AT&T going to do to screw it up? They're going to do something, right?
But we're going to fix that.
Well, yeah.
They won't allow side loading.
That's why we have the Sideload Wonder Machine.
Yeah.
You have to say it in that voice. You can't just be like, Sideload Wonder Machine. You can sideload. It's the Sideload Wonder Machine. Sideload all the apps you want. Sideload today. No. Thanks.
Whoa.
I know, I'm hyper tonight.
I don't think that they can make a phone that we can't make it work the way we want it to. Ooh. Maybe not easily, but eventually it'll happen.
Yeah, we leave that to T-Mobile.
Hey. T-Mobile shit got shown, you know.
Yes, it did.
No, but seriously, this is a big phone for AT&T because everything they've had right now has been subpar. So this is pretty big news for them.
Well, they're finally adopting Android. There you go.
I'm sorry. I forgot about the Captivate for a second, but I don't know. It's pretty amazing to see Motorola building something for AT&T.
Well, they've got Android. The Bravo and the flip side right now that.
Oh, yeah. Well,
to be honest, we haven't even bothered reviewing.
Yeah.
And, you know, we should, but I don't know. At the same time, somebody went on Facebook, this guy, Scott Duffy. I don't know why everybody blurred out his name. It's still sitting up there on Facebook. But he asked, hey, AT&T, what's the word on the Motorola Olympus? This was even before this picture came out. I'm in need of an upgrade, and this phone would be really nice to have. Thanks. And the AT&T, whoever the rep was working the Facebook page that day, and you know, I know at least one person, PR reps take turns doing this. Running the AT&T Facebook pages. And so initially somebody said, the Motorola Olympus will be available in December or January. Check back here for device launches or visit a link for our latest devices. Thanks. I don't know. I'm willing to bet that person didn't actually, you know when it's coming out.
Doesn't actually have a job anymore.
Well, yeah, they might not. I have a feeling. Look, this thing came out November 29th. I seriously think they look down and said, all right, November's almost over. You know, maybe it's something's coming out. I don't even know what it is. I'm willing to bet they didn't even know what the Olympus was, despite the fact that they linked to some BGR story. So, yeah.
Is it just me or does the resolution on that screen look really blurry?
It's probably the picture, I would think.
Yeah. And that blur skin.
Yeah, I hate that blur skin. But, you know, put another launcher on it. It's not a big deal. So we got that coming, which is nice. Do we know what the processor is on that? Is that supposedly one Tegra of the Tegra 2? Yeah. Dual core, single core, do we know? I don't think we know.
Tegra 2 should be a dual core.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, NVIDIA's one of my first meetings at CES, so we should know things shortly. So we got that. We got the Olympus. What else? Speaking of dual core Tegra 2, the LG Star has made two more appearances since last week.
The first needs to make one more in my hand.
The first one was just pictures and benchmarks. It's nothing to sneeze at. And the benchmarks look pretty darn good.
And that's just half of its capabilities too.
Right, right. Explain that actually.
Oh, well, Android 2.2 doesn't fully support both cores on a dual-core processor. You know, the kernel and the board itself can do a little bit, but mostly everything's done on a single core, so things will only get better.
Then we got a video of the thing, actually. GSM Israel actually has the phone. It's like, why can't that be us? It's interesting that it showed up in Israel, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's
gotta wonder.
You'd expect to see it.
Is it going to be a European bound phone or Middle Eastern, Asian? I don't know. We might not even get it here.
Yeah,
It looks good. Expected to see it in Germany or in Singapore. That wouldn't have surprised me much, but Israel, that's just a weird place to see it first.
Yeah. 8-megapixel rear camera, front-facing camera, LG's UI, which I like a lot. I know everybody says it looks
gorgeous.
Like the iPhone with those icons down there. But geez, people. I mean, okay, whatever. You got to do something with icons,
My old creative MP3 player had icons in a square grid long before there was an iPhone.
Right. You know,
it's just
how it
is.
You hate the blur skin. I use Launcher Pro. It's not that different, right? I mean, it looks different, but, just to flat out say it looks like an iPhone, I mean, fine, whatever. Don't use it then.
You tell them.
Yeah. Get off my lawn.
Hey, just saying. Now you're talking.
I like that UI.
It's kind of interesting that it's almost an exact copy of TouchWiz.
But
why?
Yeah,
why
it feels different.
It's an exact copy of what LG has been using all along, except for the very bottom launch bar. We just haven't seen it yet.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, that bottom launch bar looks almost the same.
Yep. The icons and stuff. Well, first time I saw TouchWiz, I thought to myself, "Wow, this looks a lot like LG."
Oh, you did?
Yep. Yeah. Because they are. They do look very close to the same.
Huh. It's better than the iPhone. It's not an iPhone.
Damn right.
Take it back and get off my lawn.
I'd actually agree with that statement. It looks really nice. Solid hardware. Beautiful screen.
I actually think it looks better because it's sitting next to an iPhone 4 there. And like either one of those you could take out. Like the iPhone... My wife has an iPhone 4 here. I pick it up and use it, whatever. And the single button thing just kills me. It's mm-hmm. so just preschoolish. And the fact that my four-year-old daughter can rock an iPhone like it's nobody's business. it kills me. It kills me. It's like, I need a phone that my daughter can't use. Or, she...
Jeez.
Yeah. I mean like that. Actually, you remember this is the one who was rocking a Google TV as well, so... Maybe. She's a genius. She's a genius. All right, so Corey just mentioned we totally forgot to talk about the Continuum, so let's talk about it. Because Jerry reviewed it very well.
Well, thank you. Well, what were you saying, Corey? What were you asking?
So if you took the Continuum, and it's, right now it's got two screens, so if you combine them together, so you had one screen, it has a ticker at the bottom, what do you think the first thing people would want to do? They'd want to get rid of that ticker. So you'd have ROM people out there doing everything possible to get rid of that ticker. So it just seems like a gimmick to me. I don't think they changed the game, or I don't think anyone's going to be copying that. It's very gimmicky.
It is one screen. The glass is painted to split it it's got cutouts for the capacitive buttons, but it's all one not LCD. It's all one SAMOLED screen. And the software displays it in separate sections. So somebody that wanted to do that, I guess they could. But I'll tell you what, if you send a lot of email or get a lot of messages or GTalk or whatever, that little ticker is sweet.
Unless you're using an application that doesn't tie into it, right?
Yes. Well, that's what I was just going to say. The RSS, Twitter, that's not so cool because you have to use Samsung stuff. Yeah. But, messages, phone calls, just the standard Android client that, is built into TouchWiz phones, works through the ticker. And it's cool because you let's say I'm, looking at something on the internet and something comes in, I can look right down at the bottom and never leave what I'm looking at. And if I don't care about it or something I can wait till later, I'll just ignore it. But if it's something like, if it's a message from my wife, how much of this did you need me to buy? I can just hit it with my thumb, answer, close it, and I'm right back where I was because I never really left it. So that's I really like that.
And if do you guys think that this is revolutionary and cool enough that other phone manufacturers are going to copy it, or Samsung will keep doing it in the future, or do you think this is just a one-time deal?
No, it's a one-off.
Yeah,
and that's a shame because if somebody wanted to make a version 2 and have it be a little more open and say, hey, here's the API. You can just put your notifications here if you want. It would be really cool.
I mean, I think just make the screen as big as the Evo. And if that ticker is so cool, just put it at the bottom. I don't know. Maybe, I haven't seen the phone in person, so I'm being a little bit, whereas you have.
No, I think people are making too big a deal about it being actually just one panel and one screen. Like physically.
Yeah. You'd never know it.
Yeah. That's not that big a deal. I mean, think of it as two screens. That's the way it's meant to be. Hello?
They are different resolutions, right? Because that's why I always thought it was two different ones, because isn't one a different resolution than the other?
Well, sure, but...
I guess that would make sense because of the size of it.
But not a different DPI. But no, like, if you opened up the whole screen, then you would have a weird resolution.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, actually, with the Galaxy Tab, and I haven't looked at, like, ratios or whatever, but sometimes text looks scrunched on there. I don't know if it's because of the resolution. I assume it is.
Hmm.
Like in the Gmail
app. I don't know.
Mickey's still here?
But I know.
I'm here. I'm trying to figure out this CES Unveiled thing. Sorry.
Oh, jeez. Come on, Mickey. I was really hoping you'd have an opinion on this.
You know, it's something that you really have to use for a little while before you form an opinion. That's really unfair to dump that and say, Mickey, what's your opinion? But we can do it anyway.
All right. I'll give you my opinion. I don't care about it. I don't think it's that interesting. I'd rather have just an LED telling me that there's something going on the phone so I can figure it out.
But it's a gimmick. Yes. But it's a cool gimmick. Yes. It's nice to see somebody try something different, I think.
And yeah, I think that's the biggest thing. Everything else is just a black piece of glass. And this one, you know, until you turn it on, you think it's a black piece of glass, but it gives you something new that we haven't seen before.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah. Fair enough.
The HTC Merge has showed up in a Entrepreneur magazine, a little two-page advertisement, which is funny because it's still not announced or released or acknowledged. No, it's been acknowledged, right? I mean, it's hard not to. Well, you know, like I've talked to HTC, you know, when it was supposed to be a prize in some contest, but no, like it's not official or anything yet. But, you know, I don't get no comment. You know, when I ask about it, because obviously it exists. Okay. We've seen it. We've touched it. So there's that. The Nexus S is still kind of floating around out there. We were tipped to a picture on Picasa that has since been taken down. And I had somebody else confirm with me that, in fact, it was the Nexus S. Didn't really get a good look at it, but obviously it's still floating around out there. And actually, there have been some other variants of that number. What is it? The GT... I-9900, I think. Yeah. So, I mean, there's a whole bunch. I'm not going to sit around looking at Picasso all day. You know, there's only so much you can say when you say, all right, that was taken by this, which proves something exists, but not much after that. I'm ready. I want it. I want to try it. I want to see something. And what I've heard, and this is really weird. I'm still not sure I buy this, but what I've heard is that it was sent back. The dev units that are out there are only single core, and they're waiting on the dual core. But that's just weird. And maybe that's where you get the different version numbers, but I don't know.
Well, I saw somebody in an unnamed forum that made a post who claimed they knew what they were talking about. Go ahead, chuckle. It just didn't perform well enough with the single core to Google's liking.
Do you think they can but do you think they can just like up and be like, oh, we're just going to, I mean, it's not like putting in extra RAM, right?
No, it would have to be a whole new board, but you know, you would think it had to have been ready if they're going to make it anytime soon.
Let's back up and maybe we'll get Mickey to explain this a little better, or I know Jerry can too. All right, so single core processors, dual core processors. I know we've talked about this before, and actually Taylor at Android and Me did a really good piece over the past week about why you want dual core, why dual core is better. It doesn't necessarily mean twice as fast, and we've talked about that here too, right? It means working half as hard, most likely, and you're going to save on battery, and there you go. More cores.
That's Jerry.
But the easy way it was explained to me one time, the first time I asked, it doesn't do twice as much work. It does the same amount of work in half the time and using half the power. That's the way to think of dual core.
I like it. I'm ready to try it. I mean, that's something new.
It's like you have two brains, right?
Yes.
At the same time.
Yep.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even know.
I'd like that. I could use one of those.
I'd just like one useful one. So
the PlayStation phone has appeared in a very blurry spy video in Greece. And when I say blurry spy video, I mean, and I kind of wonder if the guy didn't know it was being taken, because, yeah. But I don't know. They say it's running Gingerbread. It didn't have the little blinking off visual that we've seen on the Nexus S. I mean, maybe that's a phone-specific thing. Maybe that's just an early build or something. Who knows, right? That's a small feature.
Yeah.
I wouldn't, you know, peg that as something has Gingerbread or not, whether it has that animation. I don't know. Yeah, we talked about this last week. Mickey, are you excited at all about the prospect of a PlayStation phone?
No, I've got no interest in that. But then again, I'm not really a gamer. I don't play games. I mean, occasionally I'll grab, you know, Angry Birds, but I mean, it's maybe like once a month. I'm not someone who plays games. And so, having that added functionality on the phone doesn't appeal to me, but I know it's going to for a lot of people. PlayStation is obviously a huge platform. And so it's going to be, when it finally does surface, it's going to be very, I think very popular among, you know, a niche audience. I don't know that everyone's going to want their phone to, you know, have that as kind of the primary keyboard functionality on it, but I don't know, maybe not.
XY, XY, BX, AB, I don't know. Having those
buttons, I hope it's open to development.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I don't play games on a phone. My eyes just aren't good enough anymore, but I could use those buttons for something, I'm sure.
We'll see.
I'm watching this guy play games on it, and I'm wondering, like, what kind of hand deformity are we going to have? I mean, if we keep this up, I mean, the guy's hands are, like, cramped around it, and it just doesn't seem like it'd be very fun to play a game on. I'd rather do it on my TV.
Well, and the joke is that it'll get, you know, Gingerbread update in, like, 2 years. Or Honeycomb by, you know, by 2013 or something. It's like, oh, I don't know. We'll see. Well, yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. I would expect probably a Mobile World Congress announcement. I would think, but we'll find out and we'll be there soon. That's kind of it for hardware. It's been a slightly slow week or so. I'm still playing with Galaxy Tab. My wife actually stole a Galaxy Tab the other day and took it to work with her. So she could show it off. She really likes the size. Neither one of us likes the price.
You're running out of time to return it.
Yes, Mickey?
I'm sorry. I talk over you guys. I was just saying, I'm sure you guys talked about it last week quite a bit. I had one for a week as well, and I was impressed with it. I was not impressed with the Flash implementation. I didn't find that it worked that well. Now, I didn't download Dolphin Browser, which I know would have helped me out tremendously, but that's one of the things I was really looking forward to, was like, all right, full Flash browsing, and it didn't perform very well. So I was disappointed with that.
Yeah, I don't disagree. No, I mean, I was thinking back to just using it, and the browser is still a little lacking too. Or not just the browser, but the whole feel of the OS on it, right? I want something different. I just don't want, you know, bigger Android. It's nice, it works fine. So I don't know, it really nice as an e-reader. I'm loving that. So we'll see. I've got a Dell Streak on the way finally, so haven't seen one of those since February, actually. That's, you know, another one that's been around forever, but didn't kind of catch on.
You know, I gotta say though, I mean, for all, there's a lot of great things to love about the Tab. I think it's a totally, you know, the competition right now for the iPad, for those that are looking for a tablet, but obviously don't want to go Apple, this is the way to go. But, you know, I get a lot of devices in for review, and this was the first one in a long time that the folks in my office were like, oh, can I take a look at that? You know, because most of the phones that I get in, they're like, oh, another phone, you know, but this one, they're like, wow, that's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really unique and it's different. So, and I know it's not a phone, but I had the Verizon model and I really liked having the messaging application on it, which I didn't think I would ever use, but I actually used it quite a bit sitting there, you know, typing out SMS messages and stuff. And that keyboard in portrait mode, that's pretty nice. I was impressed. I turned swipe off right away because I still can't figure that out. But I liked typing two thumbs on it in portrait mode. It worked out pretty well.
What else? I mean, that's it for hardware. Till we get more stuff. I still want to see that the HTC Mecha too. Or Incredible HD maybe, or whatever it ends up being. I'm still kind of excited about that. But we'll see. Hopefully we'll get more at CES. I actually had a lot of app news over the past week. And let's start with not the biggest. We'll start with almost kind of the biggest. The content ratings are now live for developers. So if you update your app or if you upload a new app, you'll have to give it a rating. You know, preteen, teen, mature, or all. And it's not a perfect system. We're still not entirely sure how that stuff's going to be front-facing for the users. If you go to the Android market now, you won't see these ratings on apps just yet. And I saw somewhere today, I forget, Jerry, do you remember I sent it to you, that supposedly Google won't be putting out an API so that, you know, services can sort through these different ratings.
Yeah. As a developer at God's Moon, we want to give credit where credit's due. Yeah.
But so developers are going to rate their own apps?
Yes.
There's not...
Right. And Google has said, you know, if there's repeated abuse, if somebody flags your app a whole bunch of times and you're clearly up to no good, they can, you know, terminate your account up to that. So we'll see. It's interesting. We'll see how it goes. All right. Now the big news. Angry Birds Seasons. It's Christmas Angry Birds. I haven't even played it much yet, believe it or not.
I don't. Yeah, I'll be honest, I don't believe it. You've probably been playing it nonstop.
No, I really haven't. But here's the interesting thing. And Rovio's, you know, they're geniuses at this, right? I mean, just the hype around Angry Birds is hilarious. Mm-hmm. But the way they're doing this is you can only play, you know, one level a day. So, like, today is December 2nd. You can play level 1 or 2. You can't play 3, 4, 5, 6, 24, whatever, 25. So
Really?
Right. So as the month progresses and we get closer to Christmas, you can play more and more levels.
Well, just edit your build prop. You can change your date and time. I'll be playing tomorrow. I'll be playing the Christmas one.
There you go.
Uh oh.
We've lost. Still,
tells me the levels download as they unlock. Them cheating sons of guns.
Oh, sorry. Are we still doing a podcast?
Yes.
Google Reader. We have a real honest to goodness.
Yay. Nice.
RSS reader from Google. Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah.
It's not perfect, though. It seems a little slow in the syncing. So Google Reader, it syncs with RSS feeds. And we never had a proper one on Android. And I've used all the others. I've used NewsRob and everything out there. But this is by far, I think, better. Feel free to disagree with me. Send me hate mail more than usual. But I like this one a lot. It doesn't sync perfectly, though. It seems to be a little slow on the sync.
I uninstalled an app I paid $7 for when it came out, so I think it's good enough.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, I mean, all your starred items, it can be in the list can be in the same order. If you're doing RSS, I highly recommend you use folders for everything. It just makes life so much easier. Oh, I'm so happy with this. Thank you, Google. What took you so long? But thank you.
Has a nice, clean, crisp UI.
Mm-hmm.
It looks great.
I mean, this should have been out to you. I mean, how simple of an app is this? I would imagine, right? I mean, the UI
should have been out with the Android launch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at all the – everybody else made one, so it couldn't have been, you know, extremely difficult to code. Just whatever reason, they took as long as they did.
Mm-hmm. Froyo. They're working on Froyo.
That's true.
They had other priorities.
They're probably still working on it. Yeah. Other priorities.
Unrevoked is now out for the Droid Incredible again. So after that last OTA, you can root your phone again. I know a lot of people are happy about that. Dolphin Browser HD. I think did we talk about this last week? How it got an update to fix a UI compatibility issue with Gingerbread. Maybe we didn't. Maybe that's why we're talking about it this week. Which was interesting because nobody actually had the SDK yet, as far as we know, right? I mean, it's not publicly released.
Right.
I hope Google's not seeding it to people before they make it public, because that kind of goes against the spirit of the thing. But
remember, the developers, they put a post on their blog letting everybody know that they don't have the SDK to please stop bugging them.
Right. Didn't actually explain kind of what they changed, what the fix was.
So nope.
I'm still a little confused about that.
It's obvious they couldn't say a whole lot, so they're probably getting a little bit of information that, you know, they probably shouldn't have gotten yet, but they did make it clear that we don't have the SDK yet.
Yeah. Kind of didn't think they did. I mean, but it just looks weird, right? It just sounds weird.
Yep.
Double Twist was updated for Wi-Fi sync, and you have this new AirSync thing, and it works okay. Any of you guys tried it yet?
No, I can't get it to work.
And that's the problem. I couldn't get it to work in my next one. Worked fine on the Droid X. Yeah, I mean, it's a big problem.
I gave up. I shouldn't have, but I did. I'll be honest.
I'll play with it some more. The AirSync part of it is actually a premium part, right? It's 99 cents for the first, I think, 10,000 downloads, and then after that, they're going to jack it up to $5. So it's an interesting way to guarantee yourself $10,000.
Yeah. Yes.
I guess not that much, since, you know, Google takes 30% and probably taxes or something. I don't know, whatever. But still, you're guaranteeing yourself a certain amount of money then. Interesting. I don't know. I like Double Twist. It's a good app, and actually it looks better, right? But I still don't like the whole iTunes playlist thing.
Right.
I just want to move music. That's all I want. That's all I need. Logitech Review looks like it's going to get an update. I just totally forgot his name. Scotty? From Satellite Guys?
In the forums? Yeah.
Actually ended up with an update. It looks like he's on some sort of beta tracker. His MAC address was accidentally listed as a beta device, so he got the update. And lo and behold, there's a brand new Netflix app in there. That is a big deal for anybody out there with Google TV or thinking about getting one, because the Netflix app just sucked, or still sucks for the rest of us. You can browse your instant queue and watch a movie, but that's it. You can't search for movies. You can back out and go to the browser and then go to Netflix and do it that way, but it's ridiculous, right? I mean, it's criminal that it launched that way. It really, really is. But it's going to get an update, and it looks really nice. I like that a lot.
Google TV is think of it as the G1.
Mm-hmm.
You know, next year, Google TV might be really, really cool. But unless you really like to monkey with it, you're going to find a lot of stuff you don't like in the first iteration.
Did you see these horrible stories this past week that the Sony Google TV, it's dead. It's dead. They've discounted it 25% on the friggin' biggest holiday shopping weekend of the year. Oh, my God. It's like, really? Sigh. That's all I have.
Yeah, I was a little excited. I thought maybe I could find one on clearance and pick up one of those, you know, at least the Blu-ray player, but they're not discontinued. They got millions of them sitting in the warehouse just waiting for my money.
Now, is Google TV going to make it? I don't know. We'll see. Yeah, and you're right. It's very version 1.0. I'm still kind of trying to find a use case for it. You know, it's great for watching YouTube. Not great for a lot of other things right now. And
the way the networks, you know, just like dominoes. Yeah, that makes it really rough.
You can't watch half the TV stuff on it that, you know, was kind of the principle of the thing. You know, so you could just type in Sons of Anarchy and then watch something on FX. But not so much. They blocked it. Thanks. Appreciate it.
So you're still going to need your cable, even with a Google TV. And I think maybe that was the whole idea.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll get something worked out. It'll just take money and time. And more money.
And probably money.
A whole lot of money. Yeah. Probably a whole lot of money. Winamp's official. That was kind of a weird announcement. It's out of beta, but it's not out of a new... What was the deal with that? I don't know. Hasn't really changed. Go and, you know, we'll have links in the show notes, but you can go watch our hands-on with it. I like it a lot. It's still really good.
Does it... The syncing work real well and stuff?
Yeah. I mean, the Winamp UI is still the Winamp UI. It hasn't really changed since...
Cool.
Since the 1990s. And if anything, it's gotten a little more convoluted. You know, just too many options there. But yeah, if you watch the video I did with the beta, syncing's pretty easy. It's pretty quick. I mean, it's Wi-Fi. It's not the fastest thing in the world, but it's fast enough for me. So when I'm just sitting here, you know, if you really need to move music that quickly, just pop the card out, right? Plug your phone in.
Just because it's Wi-Fi makes it good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like not having to plug any. It's so cool that you can do all the stuff with these phones and not have to plug them in. Apparently it's cool to me.
It is cool. I spent 10 minutes the other day looking for a cable. I didn't know where in the heck I put it. And so I could sync my music. So, yeah.
I tell you what, I'm looking at a Sprint Optimus just because I want one for a while. If I get one, I'm never plugging it into a computer ever.
Ever, huh?
Ever. I'll put super glue in the USB hole.
That sounds dirty.
Wow.
Hey, Mickey.
I'm awake. Everyone's saying this thing. I'm not asleep. I'm here.
No, I got a question for you. Yes. So Rim, the folks who make BlackBerry, they just bought the Astonishing Tribe, T-A-T, TAT.
Mm-hmm.
Are you excited about that?
Not really. I mean, I guess it could mean something at some point, but I don't think it means anything yet. I know there's, you know, talk that this could be, you know, trying to bring in talent and stuff to beef up what the playbook is going to eventually be and possibly, you know, revamp the OS and make a smoother UI for, you know, what they decide to do moving forward. But I mean, maybe, or who knows? I mean, it could have been totally different too. I don't know. I totally glossed over this as an announcement until everyone started picking it up. And then I was like, all right, fine. I'll actually read this. And then I looked at it and I was like, okay, that's quasi interesting. I mean, you know, we'll see if it actually amounts to anything, but at this point it's another acquisition. So
yeah.
I mean, with the playbook, they're moving to that Adobe Air style, kind of sort of different interface. I can see the Astonishing Tribe people really diving into that and making it look really nice.
Yeah. You know, they've done a lot of good work. Obviously they were, you know, on the ground level with the original, builds of Android and stuff. And I think they've got good people, right? I mean, that's the bottom line. I think that's what Rim was looking for with it was the people. But who knows? Maybe obviously there's a lot of things we don't know, and they could be bringing some, you know, higher level things that we are just totally clueless about. And these are things that we never know with acquisitions. But it's kind of fun to talk about and say, okay, well, you know, they put together some really slick UIs, and they could be doing that with Rim, which I think is definitely needed. BlackBerry 6 is fine. But it's not going to carry them into the future like I think they want it to.
But aren't you excited? I'm kidding.
Why would this be exciting?
I don't know. This is not exciting. It's not. Yeah,
like a little clock widget.
Well, yeah, actually, I talked to them. I think it was either before Mobile World Congress or CTIA, and talked with them for like an hour on the phone one day. And just telling me about like all the little stuff they've done. I mean, it's important stuff, and you don't think about design about things like that. Right? You know, it's like, yeah, it's a clock, but somebody had to design it. And I don't know.
I couldn't do it. No way. So, you know, I got to respect them for it.
Okay. All right. We're going to move on. Pocket God for Android is now out, sort of. It doesn't work on half the phones out there. That's unfortunate, but they are aware of that and they're fixing it. I don't know. I tried playing it. It was a little confusing.
Yeah, it's confusing, but it works on everything I've got here. I ruined about half the day yesterday playing with it.
No, oh, that's what you were doing.
I didn't. Yeah, I didn't know that they were having problems on device. I'll have to take a look. Go ahead, just go ahead and hit me.
That's why you weren't responding to emails yesterday. Yeah.
Thanks, Jerry.
Yep, but, I was burning villagers.
Let's talk for a minute about this this GPS thing. It's a GPS restore app that Samsung released for the Vibrant and the Captivate, the two GSM phones. That's kind of interesting. It doesn't actually fix the GPS. Here's what it does. It reverts all the settings that you might have monkeyed with trying to, quote, fix your GPS previously, reverts them back to stock. That's it.
Which is snake oil.
Kinda.
It leads you right. It never worked to begin with.
You tell them, Corey. Testify.
They must have just had enough people calling and were like, yeah, I mean, like some weird customer service thing, right? Like, screw you guys. Here's an app. We're going to fix it for you and call it. I don't know. It's very weird. That's kind of it for apps, I think. I'm done with apps. Anything else you guys want to talk about app-wise?
No. I'm looking at the list
going once,
here.
Going twice.
Are you ready for it? There's a new cell phone junkie application.
Is there?
Ooh, there is. Or Android.
Well, why didn't you send out a press release? I would have made Jerry write something.
I'd have been happy to.
Yeah, it's not really that exciting, but I can mention it.
Yes.
It's an app that allows you to listen to the show, and you can download it over the air. You can talk to us, you know, through all the contact channels, and you can also, you know, star favorite shows and stuff like that. I mean, it's really what it is. It's a way to help us support what we do each and every week. And we've got a great host in Wizard Media, and they put together this application for us. And so if you want to help us out in what we do over at the Cell Phone Junkie, then I would encourage you to buy it. I mean, it doesn't have much functionality that you don't already have in other things, but it's kind of neat. You get a little, you know, app on your desktop that shows you TCPJ. So it's kind of cool that way.
I'm downloading it right now. Hey, Mickey, you and Joey promised me one thing, though. Don't go out and spend this $2 I'm sending you now on booze and women.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Well, you guys are doing that.
How's that?
Shameless.
You guys are doing that. I'm downloading the LTE app.
Oh, man. Yeah, we didn't talk about that.
We can't leave that one.
I thought they got pulled. I guess not. So, like, literally an hour after the LTE announcement the other day, this app shows up in the market that promises to put LTE on your phone now, and you get a little 4G symbol, and if it doesn't work, just wait a day or two. It has to provision your phone or something. It's total BS. It's a $5 app, right? You know what the dead giveaway is? Is the screenshots. If you look at the screenshots, it's like old Android 1.6, which means what, Jerry? Emulator
which
screenshots.
Which means they're thieves.
Well, no, it means they're emulator screenshots.
On the computer, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, don't buy it. Don't try. I almost
can't believe I fell for that.
Yeah. Oh, did you?
You what?
No.
Okay.
Oh,
jeez.
Give me some credit.
Yikes.
Well, you know, I think it's hilarious, and I think it's a very good $5 lesson for people new to Android not to trust anyone.
You trust me?
You know, you. Well, yeah, you can trust Phil, but when you. You know, you see somebody that promised you something like, you know, for $5, I can upgrade your phone to the new network. They're lying. Don't do it. If you spent the $5 and got suckered, spend that money wisely and use it as a lesson to never trust them again.
Okay. It was weird.
The more you know.
The original Droid's getting an update. Anytime now, it's kind of a maintenance update. It fixes some exchange stuff and other things. We've got a link in the show notes. I just saw tonight the LG Ally is also getting the same sort of thing. More exchange fixes. It's kind of interesting. Looks like it probably updates to Exchange 2010 as well, even though it doesn't say it. So that's interesting. Android 2.x is now on 83% of all phones. It's kind of a big thing.
Good.
Fragmentation. Schmagmentation. Got to come up with a new word. I don't know. People have been touting all these charts showing Android versions versus iPhone versions, and I'm willing to think that the iPhone guys are just kind of making a big deal out of it just to yell at us a little.
I think so. You know, and that's why I titled it that way. The important thing is 83% of the phones are on the latest major version of Android. I guarantee you 83% of home computers are on the very latest version of Windows 7, but they might be on a Windows 7 version of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, that's the important thing. There are things that work in Froyo that don't work in Eclair, but for the most part, you know, your maps updates, turn by turn, that kind of stuff, you know, it all needs 2.x to work. So fragmentation is a little bit less than people want to make it out to be.
And you know what? Android has a tool, for the most part, this isn't 100% true, but for the most part, it has a tool that will totally beat down iPhone-type fragmentation. And that is over-the-air updates.
Yep.
Occasionally, we see this, especially outside the U.S., and supposedly there have been rumors that to update the Captivate to Froyo, you'll have to plug it in. I don't know about that. We're still waiting to hear. But, you know, for the most part, they're all over-the-air updates. Bingo. And not some 250 huge-ass megabyte download through iTunes that takes forever. Forever.
250 megs? That's just the weekly maintenance release. Come on.
Exactly.
The actual OS update is like 500 plus.
They're huge.
Yeah.
That's no good.
Yeah.
I've got an iPod laying around here that's still 2-3 versions old because I can't update it with my computer, Apple. You don't make a client for my operating system.
There's not a Unix client?
Sell it.
No, there's no Unix client to update Android. And
Jerry, I'll ship you my my Hackintosh. You can plug it in and update it. And then
well, I certainly could update it if I wanted to, but you know it's really not important enough. It's just an iPod. But you know, Apple is the last people that should be, you know, forgetting about 10% of the desktop market. That's just my opinion.
I'm going to do some voicemails and emails.
Okay.
I'm going to help
people. I'll stop complaining.
I'm going to help people. Only one voicemail this week, so it'll be quick and painless. Here we go.
Hey, guys. This is Cody from Kansas City. Love your podcast. Listen every week. Can't wait for the new one every Thursday morning. Got a question about Cyanogen mod. I heard a couple of episodes ago you were referring somebody to load a Cyanogen mod ROM, which I love the Cyanogen mod ROMs, except for Calendar and Exchange. How come Exchange doesn't work with the calendars? I can't edit existing events that were created from a computer and synced to my phone through the Exchange. I can only edit the calendar events that were created on the phone. I have searched. I have found other people with the same problem, but never found an answer or a fix for this. I know that it's not an Exchange problem because my calendar works fine with Sense or the Samsung Galaxy S's TouchWiz. It's only with the AOSP or ASOP ROMs and Cyanogen ROMs and the Droid X. The Droid X out of the box was another phone that would not do Exchange calendar and the edit part of it. Thanks, guys. Talk to you later. Bye.
Corey?
Well, I don't have any experience with Cyanogen ROMs having that issue. That's something I would I'd probably talk to him about. If it works out of the box, it's probably something specific to the ROM.
Well, it doesn't work on just plain Android is the issue.
Oh, I thought he said with Sense and...
Yeah, with Sense and TouchWiz and even MotoBlur, they're not using the Android mail client for Exchange. Okay. They're using their own.
So my recommendation to everybody that uses Exchange is to just forget the built-in email client. I know it costs money, but go out and try Touchdown. It's so much better. Provides much better functionality. It's easier to set up. The calendar works great. Everything works really well in Touchdown. I love Touchdown. I'm a business guy. I use Exchange constantly. It has to be reliable. It has to be easy to set up, and it has to have full functionality. And none of the clients that come with the phones can even touch Touchdown. Ah.
Do you have to wear Touchdown?
You don't want to know what I have to wear.
Oh, hey.
Oh, now we do.
That kind of businessman. Oh.
Banana hammock.
Hey. All right, let's do some emails before we get off the track anymore. Michael from Fresno writes, do you know of a good application that would allow me to modify the LED notification light to blink for longer than the typical 5-minute default? I would like to be able to apply this modification to email notifications, text notifications, etc.
Depends on the phone.
And the ROM.
And the ROM. There's a lot of LED apps in the market. If you just search for LED, you'll see a lot of different applications that control notification lights and things like that. But it really does depend on the phone.
Yeah, I have no idea. I do everything I can to make those lights stop blinking.
A lot of messaging apps will have their own notification control too, like HandSent and Touchdown. Not to bring them up again.
All right, who's next?
All right. I got it. This one is from Ricardo.
Oh, he's from Ecuador. You were just waiting.
And he says, I just can't find in the Google Market the newly added Google Reader app and neither the Google Listen app. I wonder if there's anything to do with my IP address and market filters, which apps are offered globally. I even tried scanning the code posted in the Android Central blogs with no luck, returning a can't find search words. So I actually am guessing this is exactly what it is that it's restricted, but that wouldn't make a lot of sense other than, you know, it's with the Reader app because it's new. Google said it's only going to be available in certain markets, which is going to be the market for the US, but I don't know if any of you guys have anything else with that.
No, I think you
I think you're probably right.
Yeah.
They do a localized test first, and then because I can't think of any technology in there that would be restricted and Google can't put outside the US. Can either you guys, any of you guys?
No.
No, it's just a reader. So it's probably just testing.
Somebody needs to invent a proxy for the market.
Yeah. The old, I'm not sure about the new, but the old Windows Mobile, the Windows Marketplace for Mobile, in typical Microsoft horrible naming, had that exact same problem. And somebody came up with like a proxy app.
Well, there's a couple market unlockers in the market.
Oh, yeah.
Might be worth trying. You know, I've never checked. You might need to be rooted or and whatnot for them, but it's worth looking at.
All right, who's next?
I'm next. I got it. Josh writes, my wife and I both have Vibrance. Sometimes when she sends me text messages and picture messages, it will be delivered to my Gmail instead of the standard message system. Is this a problem with my phone or T-Mobile? Any help would be appreciated. I wanted to read that one because I've had the same thing with T-Mobile and I can't fix it. I don't know why it happens. Somebody tell us. Somebody out there. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say the problem's probably with his wife. No, because my mother does the same thing. She thinks she's sending me a text message and, you know, she starts typing my name and instead of going to the phone number, it goes to the email address.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me it's that simple.
That could be. That's a good answer.
I like the simple answers.
Yeah.
And here I've been,
he's going to have to divorce her. I mean, that's what's going to have to happen here to fix it. Okay, maybe not. It might be a little harsh.
Clearly the rational choice.
Well, it's the same things happened to me on my T-Mobile phone. So I thought, we've got a conspiracy here. And he just blew that out of the water.
No, I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
Yep.
Yeah.
Time for a beer.
Yep.
All right. Who's next?
So Jason writes, I recently got my parents to show her to Android from their old Sprint dumb phones. This was no easy task, but they are finally getting the hang of it. My dad has one simple request, which I have yet to be able to solve. On most Sprint dumb phones, if you lower the ringer volume, you will get an option to set it to one beep. He used this at work to get his attention when it rings, as it was just 1 second long beep, and he prefers this over vibrate mode. Now he is ranting that if my stupid old phone could do this, why can't my smartphone? Is there any sort of widget that will easily flip on something else similar to the one beep mode?
I don't know about a widget. You could just, I don't know if you download or you can make your own. I could do it for you in about 5 seconds. Just a beep, just a sound, and set that as the ringtone.
And 29 seconds of silence, and it'll only beep once.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of a pain to do, but I mean, if that's what you really want, that's how I would probably try it first.
Samsung had a one beep ringtone years ago on the i5, I think it was the i500, that I've never been able to replicate. I spent hours in a basement trying to replicate that beep.
What did it sound like?
I can't do it. I'm gonna have to get that phone back.
That's an old Nokia thing too. Nokia did that where they had the one beep and then it would sit there and the screen would turn on and off. I mean, this is back to the old days of Nokias, but in fact I know exactly what he's looking for.
That's the best ringtone ever.
Yep.
What did it sound like?
Yeah.
Beep. Beep. No, it was more of a beep. I don't know. I can't do it. That's the wrong tone. See, I spent probably 2 days trying to come up with that same beep. And I could never do it.
How are we supposed to cut your beep out of the podcast and make a ringtone for Jason if you won't just do it?
Because I have a terrible voice for beeping.
I'm going to send him all of us going beep, 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 beep. Yeah.
There you go.
No whammies, no whammies. Stop.
Thanks, Phil.
Oh, I killed Jerry. The X Factor writes, I hear a lot of people down on it because Froyo Gingerbread isn't optimized for tablets. However, if Honeycomb is, as reported, better for tablets, wouldn't an update to Honeycomb when it becomes available fix that? We're talking about the Galaxy Tab. Also, would it even be possible for an OS update on a tablet? I don't see why it wouldn't be, but I'm not the expert. I ask because I'd rather wait for an OS update than a tablet that will ship with Honeycomb. No, I mean, look, the Galaxy Tab is a big phone, right? I mean, literally, take a Nexus 1, stretch it out, or take a Galaxy S, stretch it out, and that's the Galaxy Tab. Otherwise, there's literally no difference. The US versions are a little different because they don't have voice functionality without hacking them onto the GSM ones anyway, but otherwise, they are, for all intents and purposes, just a giant phone. So, yes, they will get updated. I'm sure they'll get updated to Honeycomb. I'm almost 100% certain. That said, we're still waiting on Froyo for most of the Galaxy S phones, but it's a timing thing and not an if thing. It's a matter of when. Am I wrong? You guys agree?
Yeah, it'll happen.
That sounds reasonable. I agree.
Nikki?
Sure. Yeah, I'm good.
There we go. Jury agrees. Let's get out of here, folks.
Court dismissed. Nikki, wrap us up.
If you'd like to send us an email, you can do so at podcast@androidcentral.com or leave us a voicemail like Cody at 888-468-6158, extension 222. You can also follow all of us on Twitter. The site is @AndroidCentral. Phil is @PhilNickinson. I am @TCPJ_Mickey. Jerry is @GBHill and Corey is @CStreeter. You can also follow the list of all the other writers found at Android Central. The entire podcast and site brought to you by the Android Central store, found at store.androidcentral.com. Place your order 888-468-6158.
Fork in it, stick. Done.
Oh, Mickey wins. Craig did an excellent job wrapping it up last week. And but I thought, wins. Well, really sounds good, but yeah, Mickey wins. You can never miss another podcast.
He does.
Hey, the chat room's asking about the AC official app. Got an update. Yeah, we fixed some stuff, I think. I think it's been updated. Should have been fixed by now. That actually wasn't our fault. Sorry about that. So it should be updating like it should be now. The old widget, I don't know if we're going to update that. We'll see. We'll maybe leave that the old style for posterity's sake. What do you say?
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Leave it for now. Mickey, Corey, Jerry, thank you.
Thank you. 23 days till Christmas.
We need to have a bounty on when Gingerbread comes out.
Ooh, there we go. What can be the prize?
I don't know. Hey, if you guys haven't yet, and this goes for you guys in the chat room as well as everybody listening to this at home, we have kind of our best of 2010 awards, we'll call them, I guess. We have voting going on in the forums right now. We'll have a link in the show notes so you can go and post best whatever, basically. Best phone, best manufacturer, best browser, best keyboard, best widget, best game, you know, stuff like that. So you absolutely have to go there and vote. And if you're not a member of the forums, go register now. Now, in fact, everybody in the chat room, go right now. If you haven't yet, I'll wait.
We're and just the like show. The past
yeah.
midterm elections, vote early and vote often.
Yes. Yeah, this isn't scientific voting. So,
and we already know who has the best forums and the best blog.
Me! That's it. See you next week, chat room. Thank you for being here live. If you're not here live on Thursday nights, thank you for listening later. Stick a fork in us.
Have a good one.
Later on, people.
Good night.